Hey, welcome to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you today, and coming up, some of the conversations you can look forward to on Juno Afternoon are going to be Pat Race is going to be resurrecting the Jump Festival after a couple years off, and it's really an exciting thing to go and watch some movies together with a bunch of folks, and it's all great local stuff that you'll really enjoy. We'll talk to Pat about that. Aaron Heist is a local musician who has a really awesome new album out, and we're going to talk to her about that. It's exciting that she got to do this album. She brought together some great musicians, and we're going to talk to her about the process and about, we'll listen to some of the tracks too. Staying on the music theme, Susu and the Prophets. Yeah, Shona and Riley are going to be here. Susu and the Prophets are back. They're going to be playing their first show since the pandemic, and that's going to be exciting stuff. Also coming up, we're going to be talking to Juno Artist Gallery's Artist of the Month, Lou Isaac. He's going to be here in person. That's some of the conversations. I hope you'll stay and join us. Well, let's check out the weather. Well, it's sunny and highs near 24 degrees to get today. Northeast winds around 10 to 15 miles an hour tonight. Partly cloudy and a low around 18 for tomorrow. Mostly sunny again for a high around 32 degrees. Partly cloudy coming up for Saturday night and then Sunday mostly sunny. Sunny is the forecast for Monday as well with highs near 33 degrees. And then a chance of snow showers starting up on Monday night and some snow on Tuesday in the forecast.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Kliné AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk a yitin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak gunshish.
I can't help myself. I just love that Van Halen. hey, Pat Race, are you on? What mic are you on there?
I don't know. I'm on
this
one.
Oh, there you go. You're on mic four. Very good. Yeah. Pat Race is with us.
Should I move now that you
no,
got this
that's
one?
No, okay. You're good. Please, just don't. Pat Race is here. Pat is, of course, wears many hats, a great artist, and also runs the Alaska Robotics, and then the Alaska Robotics comic shop and Lucid Reverie, but also is one of the founders and one of the drivers behind the Jump Film Festival, which we've kind of missed for a couple years here, right?
Yeah, we haven't been doing a lot of movie stuff and indoors. We did a couple of outdoor things at the Glacier as part of the Science on Screen thing that was a lot of fun. So we did some big
big
picture stuff with Costa up on the big outdoor screen.
Yeah, that Science fun. On the but a lot of people know Jump because of the Jump Film Festival, of course. Yeah. It's got the name, but Jump became a nonprofit a few years ago, and I got to be on the board for a while.
Yes, thank you.
That was a fun experience, and it was really great to see all the different stuff you guys got involved with, which included that Science on the Screen, which was a really cool project that I guess is still going
yeah,
on? Or,
yeah, it's a neat grant program. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about the 20th anniversary of the Jump Film Festival.
I'm conducting an interview here.
I'm stealing the spot.
I'm conducting an interview here.
Okay, ask
questions. I wanted to ask you about that first before we jumped into the Jump Film Festival.
It exists. I'll acknowledge its existence.
Anyway, it's very cool that you not only do the film festival, but let's talk about the film festival. So go ahead.
Yeah.
What's going on? We got how many films in this film festival this time?
Oh, gosh. I don't know how many. Probably somewhere between like 70 to 80 minutes. Kind of, running time of like a normal feature film.
And usually it's like almost maybe not quite 20 films sort of divided up into two halves.
Yeah, usually about 20 films or so. Short films. Our only rule really is like 10 minutes or less and that they have some kind of local connection. So we've got films this time from people who have moved out of town, but their footage is all from here, or they have a deep connection to the community, or we've got people that live here or are new to the community. It's kind of a way to introduce themselves and say, like, here's who I am.
It's kind of a fun mix, isn't it? A lot of people I've seen, I didn't know, and now that I've known them for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you saw them in the Jump Film Festival. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
So you sent me a screen capture has a mutual friend.
Yeah, Mr. Steve Nelson.
Mr. Steve Nelson. So tell me, this is one you're pretty excited about.
I am super excited about this film, especially given the sort of it feels like a big round number, 20th anniversary of the film festival. And so it's neat that we've got this cool history. Tony Armlin, Juno filmmaker, found some footage that was sitting in Steve's garage from 1978, old film footage. And he realized it was a film that they'd never edited together, a short film. And it features Steve Nelson, Don Ash, Jane Sheridan, Jeff Brown, Paul Helmar, J. Allen McKinnon. It's got all these familiar faces.
That's
there's scenes that are filmed in the grocery store that used to be McDonald's before it was Heritage Coffee. There was scenes that are at the old K2 building. I think it'll be a real interest to K2 listeners because it's got the K2 building where the Spam Can used to be before that got torn down.
Little tiny one,
Steve Nelson, a Sou'wester, comes barging into the news show in the middle of the, and there's a VW bus that drives by the front of the building. It's amazing stuff. Just really important, historical glimpses of Juno, but also
capsule,
a fun little goofy short film.
Yeah, but also, And with some of the major talents that Juno's ever had.
Yeah. People who've done a lot for the community over the last, 50 years
or
whatever.
Absolutely, right. Some of the founders of KTOO, Paul Helmar's photographs are so wonderful and historical of Alaska legislature stuff going on, but also he had a great fun side to him as well. And
it was really neat to see. It was like a community project. All these people just sort of jumped. You could tell they just pulled people off the street and you're in our film now.
You're right. Exactly.
It's very much in the spirit of the Jump Society and predates it by a good, 30 years.
Yeah. Now what was it on, 3/4-inch tape or?
I think it was maybe 16 millimeter. He talks a little bit about it in the film.
Okay.
And there's a mix of color. Some has no sound. Some has matched sound. So he took this footage and he cut it up and he added little title cards like a silent film would have to tell the story.
Okay.
And then he put piano music over the top and he sort of made a new film out of it. And it's really fun. So he's I don't really remember what this is about, but I tried to make it what I think it might have been about. And
cool. Wow, that's so exciting, right?
Yeah,
that's really
fun.
Great. Yeah, so what other highlights of the festival that you know of?
Yeah, we've got a lot of great, a lot of really good music, a lot of music videos people have made, documentaries, kind of goofy comedy shorts, things like that, comedy horror. We've got a piece of, and just great filmmakers. We've got the stuff by Annie Bartholomew, Michael Moss, Anton Duran, Wade Rogers, Zev Levine, a local kid. Always got to have a local kid doing stop motion animation with Legos, or else not the Jump Film Festival. Greg Chaney, of course, has a film in it.
Cool.
It's good if you want to watch Greg dig a hole in the snow and spend the night in the woods. And
reality TV star, Greg Chaney.
It's wonderful. I love it. And then, just a whole bunch of, kind of a mix of seasoned filmmakers, first-time filmmakers, young folks, old folks. And I just love it because it's the cross-section of the community that we're always kind of looking for.
Pat, give me your pitch for why Jump Film Festival is still needed and something to go do in this age of TikTok and Reels, and we all have short films on our phone right now all the time. So what's your reasoning behind why it's important to have a festival that concentrates on those same kinds of films we might be able to see on our own phone.
Yeah, well, I think it's a different experience watching something on the big screen, watching something in a theater, watching something with friends, with a large group of people, that you don't get to see the reaction to, you know, you get a little heart or a blink or a, you know, a thumbs up or whatever. People can, it's different than hearing the laughter in the room. It's different than hearing applause. It's different than hearing people go like, ugh, that's uncomfortable. And you actually are informed quite a bit as a filmmaker by people's reactions or their lack of reaction in a theater setting. And so it's like, you know, it's almost like focus grouping your work. And I've learned a ton about filmmaking by screening my films and watching people's reactions and sort of like sitting in the audience uncomfortably and be like, okay, I need to do that a little different next time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's a bit of a learning experience.
It's a great learning
experience,
but it's also this communal thing. And so I think there's a piece of that that just won't go away, you know, and that's, you know, whether you're going to a symphony or a play or whatever it is, there's something about being in a live audience that really is different than watching something on your phone in the bathroom.
You said before you don't really have any, you said before you don't really have any rules, like there's only a couple rules, but you have, I do think that you kind of have founding principles in a way, like you have sort of ideas behind this.
And yeah.
One of them is that it's always going to be free.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other things that, why is that? And what are some of the other things that are sort of, you feel like are founding principles? Or
one of the big things, well, yeah. So we want to make it accessible. So that's always been a thing. We want people, because people are giving us their work to share. We don't want to profit off that. You know, even when we're a nonprofit organization, we don't want to like, it just complicates it. Money makes things weird. And so this is just for the community, by the community. It's really easy that way. You know, I think if anything, it helps Gold Town, which is great. That's a really nice asset that we all have.
Yep.
And we want to support.
And I
think that the other, like, one big principle for me is like it's non-competitive. We don't give out like a prize. You know, we don't give out, you know, first place, best picture, whatever. And I think that always, in whatever level that's on, it always introduces some weirdness into an event like that. And I've been to so many film festivals where things just get weird when the prizes come out, and like,
isn't that funny?
Yeah,
I think you're really right about that. I love that. I mean, I've often thought like, oh, well, who won this festival?
Yeah.
You know, like what? Okay, now what? You know, but then you realize you go to a few of these, and you realize, well, that's what. Like,
yeah.
You just saw what it was, a bunch of creative stuff. And
right.
You liked some of it. You didn't like some of it. You loved some of it. Maybe you hated some of it. Whatever.
Yeah.
And each one of them is only a couple minutes long. You know, you can't love it or hate it for too long.
Yeah. And it's different for everyone, right?
Right.
Everyone's having kind of a unique experience and a shared experience at the same time.
Yeah, totally. The other thing about it being free, I think that's important to know, is that that allows for people to use music, right? Isn't that right?
Not really. So we don't police people's content. Like, we rely on filmmakers to get clearances and rights and stuff like that. Still all applies.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are things like fair use where you can screen films for like an educational purpose and things like that. But we don't. Basically, our approach as an organization is very hands off. We say, like, if you're submitting the film, we believe that you've vetted your content, or it's all. It's your choice.
Probably doesn't come up much. I can't remember too many.
We don't get a lot
of original music that people are putting on.
Right, exactly. And there's a ton of amazing original music in this festival. There's music, you know, Erin's going to come up and talk. There's some of her stuff that Annie's shot and edited.
Cool.
And there's some of Annie's music. And there's, you know, there's some of Mike Moss's music. And probably throw in one of Marion's music videos that we worked on. And
That's awesome, yeah. Right.
All kinds of great original music that's made here in town. In the past, we've had a lot of George's stuff from Playboy Spaceman.
Totally, and he's always so amazing and awesome. But yeah, that's really cool. Well,
we got Arius in this one. He's got a couple music videos. They're really good.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of Thlinkit language in this film festival.
Otherwise known as Air Jazz.
Yeah. There's a lot of like Thlinkit language in this show, like more than we've had in any other, I think.
Well, that was another thing I was going to ask, just with a couple minutes we have left. But have you seen trends through the years? What are some of the trends that you've seen, and what have you seen in the past that you are surprised you don't see now, and like. You mentioned that you've seen a lot of Thlinkit and maybe Southeast Alaska Native focused films, but
This year, I watch the festival several times when we screen it, and I kind of like come out at the other side with that. But I think this year we've got a really good mix. It doesn't feel like there's something that's like really emergent. But I definitely had things where I'm like, oh wow, this is a really serious year, or this year everyone's doing comedy, or everyone's doing, you know, goofy music videos or something. So I'm not sure quite what it is this year, but I I'll probably have picked it out by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to think, like, almost would, you'd maybe might think, like, oh, gosh, the pandemic.
Yeah.
All
not
this
really.
Stuff.
No, no, beagles.
Be...
Maybe beagles.
Beagles.
There's a lot of beagle stuff.
A lot of beagle content. A lot of beagle content. Well, that's cool. Well, tell us the nuts and bolts of it. When's it happening, and how do you
right.
get to it, and all that stuff?
Goldtown Nickelodeon.
Right.
Saturday, 6:30 and 8:30 p.m., and Sunday at 4 p.m. No tickets, free of charge, first come, first serve. So just show up early, get a seat, and... that's how she works. And you can find out more information at jumpsociety.org. You can submit a film of your own, and that's kind of what we're going for, is we want people to see these and be like, wow, you know what? That guy made a horrible film, and I could do a film like that. And gosh, man, I could.
This is the lesson I learned.
I could make
that
a film.
Mediocre?
Yeah.
So I could easily be that mediocre.
We want, you know, we want art and creative expression to be accessible. And
well,
I think
the other question I have, here's a quick question I have for you. I mean, we were talking about trends, but like, what about technology?
Yeah.
Technology has changed so much in the
it's
years
amazing.
That you've put on the Jump Film Festival.
Yeah, we really had to focus, you know, 20 years ago when we were doing this, we really had to focus on making sure people were recording good sound, because they routinely, you just couldn't even understand what people were saying. It ruined a film. Now people have like much better microphones. You can see the picture a lot better. It's high resolution. It's everyone shooting HD or higher. And it's, you know, so yeah, the equipment's come so far that we have a lot less work to do in terms of like going back to filmmakers and being like, you know, sorry, this is like just no human can watch this. But it's so yeah, there's the bar has been really raised in terms of like where the entry level filmmakers coming in is much, much higher.
And where do you stand on the divisive controversy of horizontal versus vertical?
Well, in a theater, it's got to be horizontal.
Although I think I've seen a few vertical.
Yeah, and
in the Jump Festival.
But it's such a waste of space.
Yeah,
and
it
like
is.
You know, if you're in a theater and you're watching this tall
unless
bar,
it's a very tall theater.
Yeah, right.
Well, anyway, yeah, right. But isn't that interesting? Like that's kind of where these short film filmmaking has gone.
Yeah.
It's all very vertical.
Right.
TikTok is really, you know.
Yeah, I think it's
them.
Terrible. I don't think it's a good format. It's not like the way our eyes see the world.
Right.
You know, like we are widescreen. Our vision is widescreen.
That's
like
true.
it doesn't make sense to me. And I think that it's just, you know, whatever. Personal opinion. Not a big fan of the vertical video.
So
VVS, vertical video.
You
syndrome.
Waded into the controversy. I didn't know if you would.
You baited
me. You took the bait. Well, Pat, it's always great to talk to you. Obviously, it's great to have friends come in and talk on the show. And you do such great work. All the work you do, it's such great work. It's such a benefit and contribution to the community. I really appreciate it. And the Jump Film Festival is just one of those pieces, and it's happening this weekend. What are the times one more time?
Saturday, 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, and Sunday, 4 p.m. also at the Goldtown Nickelodeon.
Sounds great. Coming up next, we're going to hear from local musician Erin Heist. And here's a little bit of her music to bring us in.
Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, Sitka, Cadova, Yakutat, you know we're flying on the milk run. We're flying on the milk run. Morning, folks, I'm sorry to say, it looks like we're gonna have a delay. We got birds on the runway, there's birds on the runway. Buckle up, folks, we're in for a bumpy ride. High wind warning and word of line strike, may fly over, we may fly over. Thank God for pie and Sitka, apple, cherry, banana cream, a slice of pie and Sitka, chocolate, lemon, raspberry dream. Oh, Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, Sitka, Cadova, Yakutat, you know we're flying on the milk run. We're flying on the milk run. Stretch your legs, there's an eagle in the end of the mechanics delay. We gotta bounce that load, gotta bounce that load. Thanks for your patience, we'll soon get going. Landing gear stuck and it sure is blowing. About time out, we make time out. Thank God for pie and Sitka, apple, cherry, banana cream, wine on the milk run. You gotta love the milk run.
You gotta love the milk run, and you gotta love the music that Aaron Heist has been putting out. Aaron Heist is with us in the studio right now. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Eddie. Fun to hear this.
Oh,
and
thanks.
I know this was a big, this is a big accomplishment, I think, for you personally to get an album put together, and to get it sort of done right.
Yeah,
I mean? That was the thing.
Feels unreal to me still. I'm really proud of the thing, and kind of the big thing to talk about today is that I actually have it on vinyl.
That's so cool.
It's officially a record. It's a real record.
Tell me about why that was important to you to have a vinyl. Because you don't have to do that, right? You can just do it.
No, you definitely don't have to do that. I think currently it's sort of a trend, and it's one that I totally fall prey to. Or enjoy, I guess. I don't really listen to CDs anymore, and most of the people I know really only listen to CDs usually in their cars. But I still want to support artists and buy something. I like having something tangible. And I guess I used to think that vinyl was for like snooty people, and I thought it was just a thing just to like brag about. Right. And then my husband got me a record player 2 years ago, and it's wild to me how different the sound is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's really, really, really great listening experience, and I'm all in.
There is something about dropping a needle on a record.
Well, and
that's just a different sort of visceral process.
Well, I really intentionally wanted to write an album, so I wanted a complete sort of series of songs that held
that's an interesting thing too. Yeah,
it would be a good listening experience all in itself. And a vinyl means that you really listen to it that way.
Because I think that's very interesting. There's no real need for albums, right?
Yeah, it's
you
a
know, in a
world,
weird way.
Though.
It does seem like that's still the, you know, album drops are still the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does seem, even if it's not expected to be on vinyl.
Yeah.
But that is an interesting. So what when you thought, oh, because it could be limitless, when you thought, I want to do an album, were you thinking 10 songs, 15 songs? Did you think about that or did you just kind of?
Yeah, it was definitely going to be 10 to 12.
Uh-huh.
And then really, you know, I spent maybe a year and a half, 2 years writing these songs and sort of tried to figure out which were the ones that actually rose to the top. And then I really wanted to do at least two covers and one traditional song, which is what I ended up doing, kind of songs that were really inspirational to me,
mm-hmm.
or by people who were really inspirational to me to kind of reference sort of the context that the music was coming from. The whole process, I'm still sort of flabbergasted by it. It's only been a year since we recorded it, which... And
tell me about that process. Did you go somewhere? Did you go to Seattle or something?
I went to Astoria, Oregon.
Okay.
So if folks have had the chance to see the Horsenecks come up through town, they're a duo that's Gabrielle McCray and Barry Southern. And they're an old-time duo. She plays old-time fiddle. He plays three-finger banjo, but they also play some bluegrass. They play country. But my husband Andrew and I randomly got housed with them at a festival, and we kind of became instant best friends, just fell in love with each other. And Gabrielle and I started a songwriting group during the pandemic. And after I'd written the songs, you know, a good group of songs, I was like, all right, well, I guess now you record.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you have songs. And so I called her up for advice, and she's like, well, I mean, you could just come to Astoria and stay with me and Barry, and we'll help you, and you can record it in our friend's studio with our friend who's a producer and her husband who's
Sounds
a bass player.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, I gave her lots of outs,
yeah.
But then that's exactly what we did, and it was a totally magical week in Astoria, which feels very Southeast Alaska to me. You know, there's a lot of working boats down there. It's kind of a cute little town that's right on the water, but still has a little bit of an edge to it.
Did you bring a lot of like friends in, guest musicians, stuff like that, or did you just stay to a real core group?
Yeah,
of
we
musicians?
Really. So it was really just the five of us. So it was myself, my husband Andrew Heist on mandolin, and he plays fiddle on one tune, and then Barry and Gabbo, and then Luke, who became a friend, played bass on everything. He also did all the percussion. And then Luke's wife, Katie, recorded and produced.
Okay.
And engineered the whole thing.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Just a little group of people.
Yeah. I did bring in a couple of, like, there were a couple parts that
got some ringers.
Asked
yeah.
Folks to play on to Beth Crisman of the oh my gosh, what are they called? The Carper family. Who were guests for Folk Fest.
Our intern, Katie Bosler, helped you with that there. That's,
thank you, Katie. I phoned a friend. Beth plays some bluegrass fiddle on, was it on this one? No, on the other real bluegrassy song on there. And then I have a Cajun song on there. So I had Chris Stafford, who's a Cajun accordion player, play. And then our friend AJ Shrubas played pedal steel on a
cool.
couple of country numbers.
I was going to ask, you mentioned Cajun country, bluegrass, traditional covers.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, did you think about genre, or did it just kind of flow?
Yeah, I got nervous about it when I started putting the songs together, realizing that they all, to my ear, feel very different. And they are sort of all in these different, slightly different genres. To me, it kind of feels like, you know, when you're at the Folk Fest and you go upstairs in one of those hotels and you're walking from room to room and there's a jam in every different room and it's all sort of like slightly different genres, but sort of all the same instrumentation. So it all, I mean, I ended up feeling like the album really hung together pretty well because
cool.
it sort of has that same feel to it.
Yeah.
It's the same instruments, just with slightly different feels and slightly different traditions. And
well, we got the album up. Can we pull up another track that maybe you could just recommend? Like, what's one that you think of? Like, we just heard Milk Run. So what's one that's maybe a little bit different or something
well,
like that?
Milk Run's a very bluegrassy number.
Yeah.
Well, the Cajun one is the last track on the album.
The Under
Sun Will Come to Dawn.
Sun Will Come to Dawn. Let's see if I have. Okay. I've got in the on this. This is with Spotify. It's all mixed up, but it's here. It's the track. It's a track, right? Listen to that. Sun Will Come to Dawn. Is this one that you wrote?
Yeah, this is an original one. This was basically me and my deepest pandemic depression, thinking up all the wonderful things that had happened in the years, 2 years prior to the pandemic. That I was like, all right, it's gonna happen. We're gonna have the fun times again. I believe.
Sun will come the dawn.
Yep.
Oh, that's a really nice way of thinking about that time period that now we are sort of a little bit able to put in the rearview mirror, seems like.
Yeah, I mean, we get our very first gallery walk.
Yeah.
Like, full legit gallery walk tonight.
Right. Okay, well, here's Sun Will Come to Dawn, and then we'll come back in and talk a little bit more to Erin Heist. This is off of her new album.
From the Land of Rusted Dreams.
From the Land of the...
Rusted Dreams.
Rusted Dreams. I'm sorry, I blanked out on the title, but that's it. It's your first album, too.
It's my first
your
album.
Your debut album, and it's now out on vinyl. And here is Sun Will Come, the Dawn.
I believe in good times up ahead, and I won't take no for an answer. Even when the nighttime feels so long, I know.
Heist. Beautiful and really fun. What a great, that's an upbeat, fun, great way to think about coming out of this period of time that we've been in. Yeah.
I mean, I can't take credit for it. I had a friend who
I think you should. who take credit for
definitely it. She was talking to me and she sent me a picture of some sparkly outfit she bought and she was like, I believe in the future fun times. And I was like, I do too. Thank you.
I believe in the future fun times.
Yeah.
And now you're having them.
And here now we're having them. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got a vinyl record out. Where's it available?
So I've got it at three different locations in town. So the other thing that happened during the pandemic is Juno got two record stores.
I know, it's
that
kind of a miracle. Yeah.
So there is Downtown Disc, which is in the Emporium Mall. And that's if you kind of enter where you're going to go to the Gold Town Nickelodeon and you walk past and then around the corner. And it's this really cool little suite, sort of feels like a secret.
They've got great discs, but they also have equipment and stuff there, yeah. too. So it's really cool. If you want to get into vinyl, that's the place. That's a great place to start.
It's one of two great places.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then, amazingly enough, there is a Valley record store as well, and that's Hi-Fi Senpai, and they are out in that. I don't even know what that building's called, but it's right next to the Valley Restaurant.
Valley Restaurant, yeah, right.
And then I've also got them at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council at
cool.
shop.
Great. So, and yeah. was a grant part of this?
Yeah. So I was really lucky, and I received both an individual artist award from the Arts and Humanities Council and then also from the Juno Community Foundation. And so any artists out there who are interested in getting some financial assistance for your wild project that you've been dreaming of, both of those organizations, the grant application process is really easy. Everybody's really nice, really happy to talk through. And especially at Juno Community Foundation, I think this last year they started upping the amounts that they were awarding. So
really
we're
great,
really lucky here
amazing
in Juno
resource.
To have such access to that kind of
And dedicated to Juno specific, you know, it's really, really an amazing resource, as you said.
I mean, we live in an amazingly artistic community, and I think today is a really good example of that. You know, it's the gallery walk, so I think there's 50 or 60 different places downtown that have things going on. Shout out to my husband's band, Taking Care of Bluegrass, playing tonight at the Crystal Saloon starting at 7.
Okay, there's a hot tip.
Mm-hmm.
All
so he
right.
was just playing fiddle on that last track that we listened to, and he was playing mandolin on the first one.
It seems like maybe I know him most from mandolin.
Yeah, he's primarily a mandolin player.
And extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't
Without
like
getting...
it when I say this,
yeah.
but I think he is the best mandolin player in the state of Alaska. I think he thinks that he's going to end up in like some sort of like mandolin fist fight or something. Somebody like takes my comment to the bank.
Like,
but he is amazing.
Tie their arms together and then go at it with the mandolin.
Well, we're really, I mean, like, this is a great bluegrass town, and so Taking Care of Bluegrass is tonight, and Andrew will be playing mandolin
with awesome.
Them and singing, and
And as you say, I mean, it's so fun to think about your album in terms of, just imagine you're upstairs, folk fest, at the Alaskan Hotel, and you're just wandering a little bit room to room, and you drop in on a room, and you hear Cajun, drop in a room, hear a cover, hear some bluegrass, hear some traditional.
Yeah.
And it's a great group of a core of a Juno musicians, and then this great connection that you had with Oregon as well.
Yeah. No, I feel incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of it. It's sort of, you know, when you produce something like that, you sort of just cross your fingers you're not going to ultimately be cringing, and instead what I hear every time I hear a track is how much fun we had making
that's great
it, so.
And are you now are you already thinking on to the next one kind of or
yeah
all right well good well that'll be the next interview we'll talk about the next one. That sounds great. Well, Aaron, thanks so much, great talking to you. Neighbor and also great to see you, and wonderful to hear your stuff. I'm gonna play Stranger to You. Does that sound good, or do you have another track you want us to hear? What would you pick?
Somebody Somewhere.
Somebody
Just
Somewhere.
Just for something totally different.
Sure. Coming up here is Somebody Somewhere. We'll play out right now with Aaron Heist. Her album now available, three locations, Arts and Humanities Council, Downtown Disc, and then what's the one out in the
Hi-Fi
Valley?
Hi-Fi Senpai.
Hi-Fi Senpai out in the Valley, and go check it out and support local musicians.
Yay.
Yeah, all right. Here's Somebody Somewhere from Aaron Heist.
Somebody somewhere. Why ain't there somebody here? Oh, everybody's got somebody somewhere. Why ain't I got somebody here? I need a man who cares for me and no one else. Who
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a blustery day in northwest Alaska, a pair of warmly dressed wildlife biologists kneel in the snow, a large net spread out around them. They've captured a giant white hare, not a snowshoe hare, but an Alaska hare, and they've equipped it with a GPS and radio necklace collar. They let the big squirming hare go, and it bounds off into the tundra and quickly disappears amid the snow and rocks. Alaska is home to two species of hare, the well-known and common snowshoe, and its much larger and more rare cousin, the Alaska hare. These giant tundra bunnies are also known as tundra hares, but many Alaskans simply call all hares rabbits. Found only in western Alaska, the Alaska hare is one of the largest hares in the world. While snowshoe hares average 2 or 3 pounds, Alaska hares are 6 to 12 pounds, about 3 times bigger. Fish and game biologists are studying Alaska hares, an important subsistence and ecological resource in Alaska. Biologists found that these largely nocturnal hares are quite difficult to capture, but they were able to collar a few, and they're working to learn more about their movements, their sources of mortality, and hopefully even their productivity and the survival of young hares. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Riley Woodford, if only he were here in person and I could ask him more about Sounds. Wait a minute, there he is. There's Riley Woodford right here in person in the studio.
I'm opening for myself. I can't believe it.
No, Riley, do you do that? Or is that, that's a recording.
That's an actual animal.
Riley's here because, of course, Riley is part of Susu and the Prophets. He's one of the Prophets. And Susu is here, too. Of course, that's Shona Osterhout.
Hi.
And Shona, how you doing?
Great. Nice
Susu
to see you.
And the Prophets are back. Yeah. In action. So exciting. Like, to me, this really does mean we're getting back.
It is
we're
kind
getting
of a
back.
Turning
it's
point.
It's a turning point.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are playing the Red Dog tonight. 9 o'clock is when it starts. So well after. The warm glow of Gallery Walk is still in you, and you get down to the Red Dog, and you party all night.
Exactly.
I love
Gallery Rock.
Gallery Rock.
Gallery Rock. You have time to, like, eat some food, you know, regroup. Parking might have cleared out a little bit because, you know, not everybody's going to party all night.
Well, let's talk about, like, the pandemic really hit you guys hard as far as a band goes.
Well,
like, right, you could just had to put on the brakes.
Every band.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about all professional live music, it's like everybody took a break.
Such
I mean,
wild,
if I could really even tell you how much money we lost, it would be, you know, it's kind of gross,
right,
actually.
Right.
But you know, more importantly, it's really important that we keep our community safe. And like that really hit our band very hard, and we took that very seriously.
Yeah.
We still take it seriously. You know, it's not without risk that we play tonight. So, you know, but at the same time, it's like, when else are we going to go? Like, we
yeah.
got to play. And I know some people are going to wear masks tonight, so that's pretty cool. And,
that's fine.
You know, whatever people need.
I think that, you know, it just feels like it's getting back to the what I feel like is that hospitalizations seem like they're down, right?
Oh, big time.
And you know, deaths are down big time. And so that it seems like we're back to really maybe we understand more about how disease is spread and that sort of thing in crowds and those sort of things now. I can remember back when I was doing big events, the next week I was always sick.
Yeah.
I was always like,
I wonder
what's going on.
Happens.
I must have just got run down, you know. Yeah. But no, of course, it was an airborne, you know, illness of some sort.
Yeah.
But anyway, that stuff aside, tell me about, have you guys added to the, tell me about getting back together for rehearsal for the first time after all this.
Oh, geez.
Well, it started.
It rough?
It was no. I mean,
we were
dying to play together, and
yeah.
so and we would test every week. We would test, you know.
We still
and,
test every week.
And we still test every week, and we you know text a picture of our, you know, our test, but we got together for a couple of months maybe, and then there was a resurgence, and we quit again for another year. I mean, it was so disappointing. We just kept thinking like this is it, but it was probably August. We started rehearsing again, seriously.
What month is it right now?
Yeah, November. December.
Okay.
It's December. Yeah,
okay,
so it's been 3 months or so.
It's Gallery Walk.
We had to relearn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, Gallery Walk.
Yeah.
December.
You know,
it's first Friday, December.
Things are busy. I don't even know. Yeah.
We had to relearn 45 songs, we figured, for this.
You'd relearn them, yeah.
Well, we learned maybe 5 new ones.
Did you?
Too.
Okay.
But
we have some that we never played in public before because, you know, our last public gig was Gallery Walk 2019.
Wow.
No. We played the brewery party.
Oh, in January.
And then that big riot.
That's not really public. That's private.
We played a that's right. We played a party at Mike's place.
Big gig.
Yeah. It was January 2020, and then we were done for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
But you know, we have like 100 songs in our catalog, so like relearning all that stuff, and we also don't choose like low hanging fruit, so. You know,
as far as like easy stuff.
We don't choose super easy stuff. I mean, sure, every now and again, we're like, sure, let's play a punk song.
Do you have a process of how you choose stuff? Or what's the process?
We do. Yeah. I have a special rating system based on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Will it be fun to learn? Will it be fun to play? Does it involve everybody singing? You know, gets points if everybody sings.
This is on a spreadsheet, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one is, you know, how will it go over with the public? Will people like it?
Are those weighted or each one has?
No, they're weighted.
They are weighted.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not how I do it, but that is how.
That is how it's done.
That is how people do it. But everybody's got veto power, our veto power is strong,
yes.
I tell you.
Yeah. I could especially see a veto power with the lead singer, right?
I actually don't have any more.
Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think we're pretty equal in our band, which I love.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the one thing that's so cool about Susu and the Prophets is that you guys have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fun to have you play a gig.
We have a great
time.
Or
to go to a gig that you're playing because you're having a great time.
Heck yeah. What else would be the point?
Well,
right.
Yeah. But that's not always the case. Sometimes bands are like, okay, how's it going up there, guys?
Right. I have to play that song the drummer made us play.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, so.
I hate this one. Yeah.
And tell me one other fun thing that you guys did is you got a new logo designed.
Tell me
about that. What's all of that about?
Yeah.
It's really awesome. It's sparkly.
You know, yes. I love the sparkles, I got to say. You can take the sparkle out of the girl. Or I don't know. I'm sure there's a saying.
There is.
Richard Carter, who is like amazing artist, performer, drag queen performer, like a visual artist. Like he's got it all. He designed our logo, and I'm super happy about that. And we love it. So it just hot off the press. We've got some stickers tonight that just came in.
All right.
So I don't know. We're just trying to shake it up a
little bit. It's got this fun, like, it touches on maybe a little bit of a 70s vibe or something, right?
That's kind of,
It's got that going, but it's also, like, it's got a lot going on.
It's got a lot going on.
It's cool. Purple? Is it purple?
It's purple.
Purple and sparkle.
Yes. Mike's got this sweet, Mike Moss, our keyboard and... singer and guitar player. He's got this sweet new guitar that we're very inspired by.
Oh, that's the the purple sparkles.
See that tonight?
Okay,
it's really cool.
Very cool. Wow.
All right.
Who? Give me the rundown of who's all in the band. We haven't said it yet.
Well, so. Mike Moss is a local musician and music teacher and producer and artist, and
he just cut a new album, which is totally sweet. Like, he's been prolific songwriter during the pandemic. It's called We Be Dragons. Here Be Dragons.
Here Be Dragons.
My bad. Yes.
Here Be Dragons.
Yes,
here
that's
be
how you
dragons.
Say it.
Here oh, yeah, no, he's a great composer
and
songwriter and producer. I mean, he played virtually all the instruments himself.
Cool.
Well, he did play all the instruments. Occasionally, he'd have a, you know, guest soloist or something, and then he worked with lots of singers, you know, different singers,
like
and,
local, out of town. Mm-hmm. But he goes under Blue Nagoon.
Okay,
Blue
check
Nagoon.
That out. Yeah, we're super stoked. We're just happy for him to. Yeah, he's just so talented.
And then is your husband still on drums?
Yep, Austin is still on drums, and he's been, he does music lessons, and he's all over the place with music because you know he's actually a classically trained violinist.
But also playing the drums must be. This freeing breakout thing for him to go do, right?
I don't know.
I would think.
I mean, he grew up doing, he's like one of those dudes that picks up any instrument
and just
can
play it.
It's
kind
of annoying, but he's really good.
He sat down and played piano one day. I was like, I didn't know you could play the piano.
Anything. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And then Simon Taylor.
Oh, Simon's in it.
Simon.
On the bass.
Oh,
on the bass, also member of Playboy Spaceman.
Best sideburns in the biz.
They're killing it right now.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so this is great. You said that it was funny that you said, "Oh, we put this gig out and said we're going to play," and all of a sudden the offers start rolling in, right?
Yeah,
I mean, so
pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're gonna see how this one goes and see how we feel about it, and you know, I think the cool thing about our band is that we all really like each other and we really care about each other. So it's not like one person is going to say, oh, we're playing this gig and it's going to rock and everybody's on. You know, it's like we make decisions as a group and we're pretty.
That's great.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's good. That's why you have longevity. How long have you been together?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say.
It's like 12 years now.
Well,
maybe. Well, you and I played as a duo for about a year before.
Yeah. So 10 years, 10 year anniversary was this past or last January.
Oh, wow. 10 years.
10 years. Cool. And it would be 11 years. We had Dale McFarlane as a drummer
first.
Oh,
I remember. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Which we love Dale too. So, yeah, for a long time.
It kind of grew out of the Diva, the very first Diva show we backed
up. Oh, is that right?
We backed up. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Shona,
yeah.
And
then you guys kind of thought, like, I think we got something going here.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly
right.
In fact, we're going to play our first two songs, Rolling in the Deep and Crazy on You.
That's
tonight,
right.
The first two songs we learned together.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because that's what she did as a diva.
I feel like I should play. I was going to play Home to play us out because that's one of my favorites that you guys do
by Edward Sharpe
and the Magnetic Zeros. But,
that's a great show.
But maybe I feel like I should, play you out here, I should play Crazy on You, maybe.
Right? Also a great tune.
Yes, great tune.
And
hard.
Northwest favorites, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Northwest favorites, right? Exactly. Canada's own, the Wilson Sisters.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah.
What are we, Modest Mouse, right? We Modest
Mouse. That is a fun, it is fun because, you know, I think that often bands get like, well, we're a classic rock band, and that's what we do. But you guys just kind of just play all over the place, and it just shows all the different influences you have, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, people, like Simon suggested, Feel It Still, or you suggested Bad Guy.
Feister,
from the Interrupters cover, you know.
Billie Eilish's song.
So oh,
we're doing that.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But, yeah, sometimes somebody suggests a song, and everybody just goes, yeah. And other times it's like, I don't know. Like when Bulls on Parade, I was like, what? Who's Rage Against the Machine?
Cool.
He did
never
not
heard
want
it.
To do it.
I'd never heard
but
it.
But you know what? You will hear tonight.
Yeah. It grew on
Rage
me.
Against
a little
the
little
Machine.
Rage. Yes.
It really grew on me.
Save that up.
Yeah.
order a scotch and just go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Second set. We'll rock your face.
All right. Susu and the Prophets playing tonight, 9 o'clock at Red Dog. And yeah, they are prepared to go crazy on you.
We are.
Shona and Riley, thanks for coming in. Always great
thanks
to talk to you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks.
All right.
Yeah.
No, well, that's in honor of Susu and the Prophets there, Crazy on You. They're going to be playing after Gallery Walk, but it is Gallery Walk, so let's talk about that. And one of the great places you always have to stop when you're doing Gallery Walk is the Juno Artist Gallery. And Lou Isaac is with us. She's the person that's the featured artist this month for Gallery Walk. That's quite an honor, Lou, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I had not been a featured artist for a number of years because I was stuck out of the country when COVID hit for a long time. I was in South Africa for 9 extra months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, that's fascinating.
Life is very different now than it was pre-COVID.
Yes.
So we're glad to get back to a little normal.
It is a bit of a theme of what we've been talking about with all of our guests today, how much COVID changed what they did as artists.
Yes.
Did you feel that it changed you as an artist?
It changed what I'm producing and what we're going to be seeing tonight at the gallery, because I had moved to Juneau in 2016, and one of the reasons that we decided to move here was because I thought the artist gallery was such a great thing for an artist, a way to get people to enjoy your work.
Yeah, and exposure to all these people that come into town and also year-round and
right.
all that.
And,
yeah.
and friendship, too, because I was moving in with knowing no one in town, and all of a sudden I had these co-owners of the gallery, and we cooperated and made friends, and that was really great. However, at that point, I was sort of concentrating on making things that would sell to people who come in on cruise boats, because that's where most of the money that the gallery receives comes from that.
So for you, what was that? Whales or
whales and bears and eagles and
which are beautiful and are part of our community.
Yeah. It was fun and it was interesting for me because that's something that I hadn't done. But I sort of missed doing the things that I used to do. And so now since I no longer had to do that for a while, I have gotten used to doing only what I want to do.
And is that and then that is gonna be that's the human form, nudes?
That's the human form, yes.
Right.
So with traditional art education, when I was 18, I started drawing from nude models because that's what you do in university. That's one of the first things that you do. And that was like 55 years ago. And so I have done it ever since. And it's become a big part of my life. And expressing humanity and responding to it and learning to figure out how to paint it has been a lifelong struggle for me. And I think I'm finally getting it. Just in the nick of time because I've developed cataracts, so I'm the blind lady making paintings of other people.
Maybe that's good for nudes. Everyone looks great.
One of the paintings I have up is a little self-portrait I did, and doing that blind was really awful.
How do you do a self-portrait? Just have a mirror?
I had a mirror,
and
I would have to go up really close to it to see what I looked like and then run back to my canvas and paint something. Yeah, it was. And every time I went back into my studio and looked at it, I decided it was horrible and I really needed to fix that.
Now, what mediums do you work? Do you work in oils?
In oils, in traditional oils.
And so does that lend itself to the work that you do in a way, or do you struggle against it, or
everybody struggles with every medium to start out with, and it's been a lifelong process. I'm definitely getting so that I can handle it better, which is good because I'm not going to live forever now, but I've used it for years and years and years, and I still have a lot of my older stuff, which is interesting to look at, but the way I approach everything I paint has changed a lot.
How has it changed? When you look at your older stuff, what do you see that you realize, oh, I've really changed that?
Well, some of it is dated because some of it is stylistically what other people were doing at the time, too. So when I started...
You get influenced by
started painting in the 70s and, went through a lot of stuff. And then in the last, maybe 15 years, I've started working with master painters who come into town not into Juneau, but into other places. And there was a Russian painter named Zeman. What's his first name? Anyhow. And he only spoke Russian, and he had a Russian woman who spoke English who would translate to him. And I remember him saying, "We are not painting objects, we are painting atmosphere." And it's taken me, and I heard him say that maybe 5 years ago. And so the last 5 years, I've struggled with what does that mean?
What does it mean to you?
It's the way we see, which is so different from the way a camera sees. A lot of people, in order to get exact proportions or details, they will take a picture of something and then paint from a photograph. And a photograph is capable of seeing detail at a great depth and a great width all at the same time. And the human eyes aren't. So when we look at each other, if I'm focusing on your eyes, like the side of your face is not in focus.
Right.
If I focus behind you, your face is not in focus. Cameras aren't like that. They can focus.
Yep.
And so we use them a lot because they can record details. But that's not what art needs to be. Art needs to be something that's expressive and records other things that cameras can't do. I mean, just trying to, why do people try to copy photographs? The photograph's already there.
I was going to ask you, do you ever work from photographs?
I used to.
Yeah.
I think everybody does.
But that leaves that empty in a way, that
Yeah, but
atmosphere.
I don't do it anymore because I realize that it's leading me away from a human experience.
Right.
And the human experience is something that's more atmospheric and more, it has to do with how we're feeling about things and what things mean to us and what's important to us. And the camera is not selective for us in that
way. So interesting to hear. It's obviously, that's what happens. You're an artist, and so you think about these things. You know, when I view art, I guess that's part of what I'm getting out of it without realizing it. I'm getting out of it the thought that you've put behind why you're expressing it the way you are.
Absolutely. I think what all artists are trying to do is communicate the emotion that they have about whatever their subject matter is. And if your emotion is more tied to what a human experience is rather than a camera's experience, you'll be more successful at getting to that emotion that you're trying to communicate. And so struggling to try to do both of those things at once was sort of pulling in multiple directions that were mutually exclusive.
Right. Well, we've only got about a minute left, but just anything else you want people to know about what they're going to see tonight?
Oh, we got food for the first time in 3 years.
Oh, that's true.
we're all really excited to see all our friends come in, and we hope everybody does it in a nice, safe, healthy way. And we're really excited about finally having our friends and our community back into our gallery.
Well, that's great. Well, Oil Paintings by Lou Isaac will be the featured artist, among the other artists
among
that are also
the others,
there. I also should say that it's not a solo show. It's you're featured, and that's a wonderful place to be. But that's going to be there at the Juno Artist Gallery, and that's there in the Senate building. Everyone kind of knows where the Juno Artist Gallery, I think, listening is, and it's going to be one of the main stops on the gallery walk tonight. Lou, thanks so much for coming in, and it's great to meet you, and thanks so much for coming in and
describing your
artwork. It made me really think a lot about how I perceive artwork.
Come by the gallery and
yes,
take a look.
That sounds great. I intend to do it. Thank you, Lou.
Excellent. Thank you.
That'll do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live from Lingit Ani on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at kto.org, and rebroadcast on this station at 7 o'clock p.m. Want to recognize the life of former UAS professor Saul Neely, who was a supporter of public radio and was a fierce fighter for a lot of good things. We miss you, Saul, and I just wanted to mention that again today. To listen to interviews and to see links about anything we discussed, you can go to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Juno Afternoon is a production of KTOO Arts and Culture Team. Boston Christopher is our producer. We held help today from Aaron Tripp and Shelley Delaney and Katie Bosler, who's going to be our host on Wednesday as well. Our theme music's from Indian Agent. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks for listening.